Well, today's reading comes from John 16, verses 32 and 33. The time is coming, and in fact has come, when you'll be scattered, each to your own home. You'll leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Thanks so much for that, Rowan and Georgie. It's been so great having you guys part of this service. And Rowan, thanks for the reading from the book of John. This reading is looking at Jesus as he's spending some time intimately with his followers. He's hanging out with his disciples before he goes to the cross. And really, this is happening in the last few weeks of his life. And it's in these times, in this intimate space, where he warns his disciples. And he lets them know what's coming. Jesus tells his disciples that they will certainly experience trouble. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Now, the word trouble there can oftentimes, well, we can think it's, you know, spilling a cup of coffee, or we can think it's tripping over, or we can think it's something that happens to us that can be quite trivial. But this word trouble that Jesus is using, actually, the Greek meaning of it is a bit different. The Greek meaning is, it's pronounced thlipsis. It sounds a bit funny, but it's interesting to note this because thlipsis means something that's been pressed together, something that has experienced pressure, something that has experienced resistance or opposition. So that isn't a menial type of trouble. This is something that's happened that's a big deal. And Jesus is warning his disciples, they're certainly going to experience thlipsis. They're certainly going to experience opposition. Now, we're in week 3 of Jesus, a Game Changer. And last week, Ryan spoke to the transformation of Paul. How Paul went from one who was persecuting people to one who was standing up for people and also speaking and revealing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, in this telling of the gospel, as he told it around the Greco-Roman world, he experienced thlipsis. He experienced this thing that Jesus said his followers would experience. Paul experienced it to the point of death. He experienced resistance and opposition to the point where he was martyred for it. Now, we too experience opposition. We experience this same thing. Perhaps not to the extent that Paul is experiencing it. In the Western world, we may not experience it to that extent, but we do. We will experience and we will walk through trouble. Make no mistake, we will experience it. So Jesus is warning us and he's telling us, hey, don't be surprised when it happens. Almost expect it. It's sure to happen. But the thing I noticed about opposition as I was thinking about it, is that opposition has this unique ability to shape us. The other day, I was playing with Play-Doh with Mircea, and we were just playing with it. We were rolling it up on the ground. We were making different little stick figures and these kinds of things. And as I was reflecting on thlipsis, and as I was reflecting on this opposition and resistance that Jesus says we will experience, I was reminded and thinking about how Play-Doh doesn't become a shape. It doesn't actually become something that you can recognize until there's pressure put against it, until it actually comes up against resistance, until it experiences opposition. See, that's what opposition does. It shapes us. But opposition can shape us to think simplistically about this. It can shape us into one or two different directions. Opposition can shape us to become more open, more gracious, more empathetic, kind, and loving. Or it can shape us to become more dogmatic, more bitter, more resentful, defensive, and stubborn. See, the thing is, isn't it true that if two different people can experience the same resistance or have a very similar experience, yet become and go down two completely different paths? Two people can experience the same resistance and become live in two different ways of being. So the crux of it isn't the opposition. Jesus said we'd all experience opposition. The crux of it is this question: how will we respond to opposition? How will we respond when we experience resistance? Now, Scripture doesn't leave us wondering with that question. Scripture actually gives us some excellent insights that we can apply to our life and do and learn how to respond to opposition and resistance well. When I think about the life of Jesus, there's something that stands out to me. He experienced an intense amount of opposition, and he experienced resistance. But the thing is I don't see Jesus taking it personally. And I think that's the invitation here, is oftentimes when we experience opposition, we make it more about us. But it's not. Oftentimes opposition is less about us and more about the person who's bringing the opposition. Now, this doesn't mean that we act in arrogance and pride and just completely resist it. This means that we should be humble. There are things that we can learn from opposition, but it's also really important not to self-identify with it. And I see this with Jesus when he's healing people who are tormented by demons. Scripture talks about this. And there's a group of people who hear about this, and he's healing people and releasing them from the captivity of these demonic experiences. And this certain people group come and they say, well, the only reason Jesus is able to do that is because he's actually working alongside the devil. Now, that's a pretty intense claim, and Jesus could have gotten all defensive and gone, no, I'm not, I'm the Son of God, how dare you say that about me? But he doesn't take that approach. He doesn't take it personally. He sees that this is actually more about the people who are bringing the opposition. And he actually asks them a series of questions. And these questions, he sees through the opposition, and he sees really what's going on behind that. And he invites what's going on behind it by asking questions. And he asks these questions with the hopes that the people who are bringing these claims might actually see what's going on within themselves and why they're bringing these claims. See, I think that's a brilliant way that we can respond to opposition. If we can step back, if we cannot choose to take this personally as a personal attack, but actually see, okay, what can we learn from this? And choose a posture of humility, but also see beyond the opposition. See that this isn't about us necessarily. This is often more about the person bringing it. Seek to understand what's going on. And maybe some questions will be helpful in that regard. The second thing I see when I look at Scripture, the second invitation and the important thing to notice to respond to opposition well is to really know our purpose. To know our vision, to know what I call our thing. See, Jesus was really clear on this, and I wonder if that clarity helped him to face opposition with courage and boldness. If you think about Jesus' why, his vision, or his thing, I think it's found in Luke chapter 4, and I'm just going to read this passage out. It's where Jesus is in the synagogue, and he's beginning his ministry, and he says these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim this is the year of the Lord's favor. See, this is a very clear vision. This is a clear reality as to what Jesus was here to do. And the things that he does actually line up with this statement. And I wonder if he was able to live in great boldness and courage because he was clear about why he was here. I think this is a really important thing for us to really sit with as we experience opposition, for us to live with courage and boldness. As I think about my life and the opposition I've experienced, it was drilling down and distilling my purpose, my thing, what I'm here to be about, that actually helped me to not resist opposition, not run away from it, but face it with courage and boldness. With a deep humility, with a great humility, a posture of humility, but also a deep resolve and commitment to the life that I have and the purpose that I've been given. This is a really important thing. Purpose also frees us too. It frees us to say yes to things. It helps us understand what we should say yes to and what we should say no to. Something that's really stuck with me is a statement that Friedrich Buechner said. He's a theologian, a poet, and a novelist, and I have this quote up in our house at home, and it says this: the place that God calls you to is the place where your deep desires and the world's deep hunger meet. I wonder what that means for you. Where is the place that God's called you to? Because when we find that and we discover that, that will give us so much courage and boldness to not resist opposition, but to lean into it and allow it to shape us, to allow it to shape us to be the person that Christ has created us to be. So knowing our purpose is key to responding well to opposition, and it also prevents us from being derailed by it. Craig and the team recently wrote a song called Covenant, and the chorus speaks of how we live. And it invites us to live, to love, to give, to stand, and to move as Jesus. Doesn't that resonate with this quote that we heard from Buechner? That we might alongside Christ meet the world's deep hunger. Now we're going to move into a time of worship together. And after that, I'm going to share one final thing, an invitation to respond well to opposition. And I think it's probably the most under-applied way to respond to opposition. So as we move into worship, I want to invite you to ask yourself some questions. You can sing, but I also am really encouraging you to create an intentional moment here. Ask God, what is that place that you've called me to? How can my life meet the world's deep hunger? And if you have a clear understanding of that, maybe take this time to ask the Spirit of God to give you courage and boldness to lean into opposition, not just resist it, but also to see how Christ might be shaping you in it. Thanks so much for the team for leading us in this time.
Lord, have mercy on my soul. Forgiveness here as I surrender all. Receive my sacrifice of praise and exchange all my brokenness for righteousness and grace. And as your eyes roam the earth, will find my heart completely yours, and I will live, and I will love, and I'll give as you have given to us, and I will stand, and I'll be moved to covenant with you. You are my strength, you are my song. You are the image of all wonder, of the all creating one. So be lifted high above all names. The my covenant with you. That I will live my life for you and love just like you do and give as you have given to me. That I will stand on words of truth. I'll be moved by all that moves you and worship with my life and not a song and be completely yours.
Thanks so much for that, guys. It's so great to be together in that moment and in create an intentional moment where we can ask ourselves those questions. Now, there's one last thing that I wanted to talk about from Scripture. And as I said before, in my life, I'm 100% sure this is my lowest option on my go-to list for when I experience opposition. Paul speaks of this, and he is one who's well acquainted with opposition. And he echoes the words of Jesus. And I want to read them. They're in Romans chapter 12, verse 14. This is probably an overstated verse, but I wonder if we could just sit with the meaning of it for a few minutes. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, Paul tells us this: bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Okay, let's just think about what that means for a moment. That is not my go-to response. Even as I think about that and I think about blessing someone who's done me wrong, I almost feel an injustice rising up within me. I almost feel in my definition of justice or goodness that is not right. And as I was reflecting on this, I was reminded of the many times that I've not chosen to bless someone. I may have let it go. I may have been like, okay, I'm just moving beyond that, but I have definitely not chosen to bless them. Blessing someone when they curse us is not a passive action. This is a decisive action. This is something that we are choosing to do. Later on in this same chapter, Paul continues on the same path, and he says not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Instead, overcome evil for good. Now, this reminds me of a video I saw a while ago about a young man who came into his school to inflict harm and damage upon his other students. He came in with the intention of shooting his classmates. He came in with a gun underneath his coat. And as he walked into the classroom and he pulled out the gun, he encountered one of the coaches in the school. Now this coach does something in this moment that's completely unthinkable. Did you see that? Did you see what happened there? As that young man pulled out his gun, the coach takes the gun from him, incredibly quick thinking, but he doesn't just do that. He then embraces the student. And it's such a real moment because you can see this student, he's come in to inflict damage. He's come in to murder his classmates. And initially he's pushing away. He's resisting this love. But then the love just gets stronger. And then you can see the student no longer resist it. He gives into it. And then he wraps his arms around the coach. Man, as I was thinking about overcoming evil with good, this picture came to mind so quickly. I wonder how we, when we experience opposition and we experience resistance, how we can overcome that with love. This video gives us a perfect portrayal of how love can disarm resistance. Love is the most powerful and revolutionary force that there is. And love won't fail. Love aligns itself with the heart of God and the will of God. So as we experience opposition, let's not resist it. Let's see how we are being shaped through it. How can we come to it with a posture of humility? Not identify ourselves in it, but also how can we love and bless those who are opposing us? And maybe, just maybe, that will disarm it altogether. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're so looking forward to all that continues to happen as we go in and we experience Jesus the Game Changer. And I hope you have great groups together as you have conversations about these hard and there's tensions in these moments and in these topics that we're going over together. But thanks so much. It's great to be together.